Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat of broken ain't a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. So the NCAA tournament is upon us. We know it's basically a week from tip-off. The NCAA is prepared for several scenarios to keep the coronavirus, COVID-19, from spreading. In a game where around 20,000 players, coaches, and fans are going to be hyping each other up, handshakes, high fives, hugs, the whole deal. Precaution, the Center for Disease Control says to avoid for people who are at a higher risk of getting sick is not easy. One of those scenarios is empty seats. Can you imagine the NCAA basketball tournament being played in arenas without fans? They are prepared for it. They said, quote, let's say that we discover that the COVID-19 is an illness where the public health is really threatened. NCAA Chief Medical Officer Dr. Brian Heinlein said, the only people that are in the building are the players and the refs and the necessary personnel. The fans aren't there, and we know that the risk mitigation is superb and that the people there are without risk of transmission. We painted all those scenarios, and so we're prepared for that, end quote. So there were more than 720 cases in the U.S. across 36 states and D.C. with 26 deaths as of March 10th. The vice president who's in charge of the coronavirus, basically for the government, Mike Pence, admitted that the U.S. does not have enough coronavirus test kits to meet demands. He claims they're getting another 4 million by the end of this week and that they have only 1 million in circulation now. That's crazy. Think about that for a second. So by the end of the week, they would have 5 million test kits available in a country with 350 million people. I mean, that is absolutely chaotic. Think about it. I mean, you have no chance of getting one of those test kits. 5 million out of 350 million? Are you kidding me? That is pathetic. So ahead of the tournament, the NCAA announced the creation of the advisory panel for the coronavirus on March 3rd. And Dr. Heinlein was leading a group of experts in public health and security, including the CDC, to evaluate the COVID-19 situation on a daily basis and prepare for all scenarios. Members of the NCAA were working with the host schools, conference offices, and community partners to monitor the virus through the NCAA Sports Science Institute, and the internal team will meet twice a day, according to Dr. Heinlein. He said, quote, it's sort of like preparing for a hurricane and not knowing if it's going to fizzle out or be a Cat 5, but we have to be ready for every scenario. The NCAA is committed to conducting its championships and events in a safe and responsible manner, according to NCAA Chief Operating Officer Donald Remy. Colleges have already started to cancel games when they're playing in cities in the center of the worst coronavirus spread in the U.S., like Seattle. Chicago State U and the University of Missouri-Kansas City, two D1 basketball programs, canceled their road trips to Seattle University on March 4th. They said, Seattle University, we respect Chicago State and Kansas City's decisions and understand their concerns. We share a commitment to ensuring the health and safety of our community's fans and all those who attend university-sponsored events. There has been no recommendation to suspend campus operations, including athletic contests, or restrict travel in the United States at this time. In the same state, the first and second round March Madness matchups are going to be taking place in Spokane, Washington, from March 19th to the 21st. This is unbelievable. The whole thing is just so outrageous. You can't even make this stuff up. So Dr. Carlos Del Rio, a chair at the Hubert Department of Global Health at Emory University in Atlanta, their Rollins School of Public Health and a member of the advisory panel said that the group's going to look at the data before making any final decisions to cancel games. He said, quote, "We're obviously going to have to look at all the different options of what is the risk of infection, what is the risk of transmission, and what is the risk of serious illness. I don't think anybody wants to be a part of causing an outbreak." And that played a part in why Johns Hopkins in Baltimore announced it hosted its NCAA Division III men's basketball tournament games without fans back on March 5th. Maryland declared a state of emergency over the coronavirus after three positive cases were confirmed, and the three Maryland patients contracted the coronavirus on a Nile River cruise in Egypt. I mean, who in their right mind right now is going on a Nile River cruise in Egypt or on a cruise ship? The cruise ship industry is basically right now shut down and it is going bankrupt. If you are an owner of a cruise ship line, you are in big trouble right about now. No one is getting on a cruise ship anytime soon. How about the one cruise ship? The Princess cruise ship that has all these people on it that have coronavirus, they are literally, I'm not even making this up, taking them out to sea, and they are going to live on this ship with the coronavirus, and bottom line is either live or die from it at sea. They're going to keep them out at sea for as long as they have to on this boat, living on this boat at sea until this whole thing blows over, or they rid themselves of the coronavirus, or everyone gets over it, or everyone dies. I mean, it is that simple. That is not even something that I'm making up. That's true. I mean, that is crazy. Stanford University announced that it would limit the number of fans at its future sporting events in order to allow people to have social distancing. That's a new word now. When you think about it, it's Portuguese for don't stand next to me. Get away from me. Don't come near me. But what are the players saying ahead of the tournament? You know, the National College Players Association has asked the NCAA to discuss having its tournament with no crowds in the arenas due to the coronavirus fears. The NCPA said in a statement on February 29th, precautions should include canceling all events that put players in contact with crowds, such as meet and greets and press events. Athletic programs should also take every possible measure to sanitize buses and airplanes used to transport players. Think about it. In a game where players share towels on the bench, Dr. Heinlein says that they put together a checklist to stop players from sharing items in the locker room and on the court. The checklist will also include an extra emphasis on having places where people can wash their hands in the arena and have appropriate disinfectants. But the coronavirus isn't the only virus that they're paying attention to. The influenza epidemic is just as important. Dr. Del Rio said, "I'm still concerned about the ongoing flu. We need not to forget that." I mean, so what? The flu's going around and coronavirus is going around. I mean, we are all doomed. Bottom line is that when it gets closer to tip-off, the NCAA's final decision is going to be decided by the health officials and not the NCAA. Dr. Heinlein said, "We have made it very clear that the decisions are going to be guided by, and we will not run counter to what our Department of Health and the health authorities are telling us. And we also won't run counter to what our advisory panel is telling us." If the NCAA decided to host games without crowds, it would be losing out on a huge chunk of its billion-dollar tournament. Can you even imagine if the NCAA tournament is being played in front of zero fans in arenas that are empty and how much money they will lose? I mean, you can't even come up with the number. I have talked at great length with Rick Harrow, our sports business and legal advisor on the show, about this problem. The NCAA playing in front of no crowds. And the NBA, the NHL, baseball, and MLS closing their locker rooms, closing their clubhouses to the media. And obviously, they are making a stance that they don't want anybody in their clubhouses and they don't want the media near the players. Now, they are still doing interviews. Allegedly, they are setting up shop. Like the NBA players, for instance, are standing 6 to 8 feet away from the media when they are doing interviews. I mean, how pathetic is that? Can you even imagine what that looks like? So the league said that they made these decisions after consultation with infectious disease and public health experts. The NBA, in a call with teams earlier in the week, stressed that the move is not to ban reporters, but to ensure the safety of players and staff in those areas. The statement read, quote, "Given the issues that can be associated with close contact in pre- and post-game settings, all team locker rooms and clubhouses will be open only to players and essential employees of teams and team facilities until further notice. Media access will be maintained in designated locations outside of the locker room and clubhouse setting. The changes, which the leagues say are temporary, will begin this week." Some NHL teams began closing their locker rooms already to the media over the weekend. And the player availability at practices and after games was held outside the room, or in many cases at news conference podiums. The NBA said interviews with players will continue at settings other than the locker room, stressing a gap of 6 to 8 feet, like I mentioned before, between reporters and interview subjects. No one knows how long it's going to last. Texas Rangers GM John Daniels said, "I don't know that we have our arms around how significant of an issue this is at this point. So if the league is recommending or their policy is we want to take step-by-step type precautions, then we want to go along with that." Denver Nuggets coach Mike Malone said, "No disrespect, but that's the last thing I'm worried about." He didn't even want to talk about it. Nice job, Mike. Everybody around you is dying, and you're worried about the Nuggets center not being able to hit that elbow jumper. Hey, Mike, you should worry a little bit about your community and the state you live in and the country you live in and all the people that are getting sick with the pandemic. Meanwhile, you're worried about the refs and your current homestand. I mean, how pathetic is Mike Malone? Rangers pitcher Edinson Volca said, "I think it's dangerous for everybody. Somebody could have it. You talk to a guy, you go home, maybe you transfer that to your kids and wife and family. So I think it's a good idea for now. Probably later, hopefully we can get together again. But for now, we have to take care of that." The vast majority of people recover from the new virus, allegedly. According to the World Health Organization, people with mild illness recover in about 2 weeks, and those with more severe illness might take 3 to 6 weeks to recover. In China, where the virus first exploded, more than 80,000 people have been diagnosed, and more than 58,000 have recovered so far.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Meanwhile, there's a clear sense of a new normal in the U.S. Roses are red, violets are blue. Wash your hands. Wash your hands, said Enos Kanter of the Boston Celtics. The Miami Heat held their annual gala at a theater in Miami Beach earlier in the week. Different than usual, the team's three NBA championship trophies were near the entrance with someone standing by with a bottle of hand sanitizer. Guests were offered champagne by some attendants and more hand sanitizer by others. I mean, this is unbelievable. Pat Riley said, "Until the league says something, we are business as usual with a tremendous amount of caution and prevention to make sure everybody's safe, but also educating them that they've got to do the same thing." Remember, LeBron James said he wouldn't play if there were no fans in the arenas. Riley said, I doubt that's going to happen, but you have to be prepared. It could happen in at least one NHL arena. Santa Clara County announced a ban of all gatherings of at least 1,000 people for the rest of the month. The policy would affect 3 Sharks home games, and the Sharks said in a statement that they were reviewing their options. The team could play the game without fans, find a neutral site, or play the games on the road. Baseball officials, like those of the NBA, held a conference call with all league franchises earlier in the week to discuss the new policies. All 4 leagues and the NFL, which has been involved in the talks but isn't part of the policy because NFL teams are not holding practices, are collecting info from the CDC and Canadian health officials, even as the situation changes almost on an hour-by-hour basis. Major League Baseball said, we are regularly conveying the guidance from these experts to clubs, players, and staff regarding prevention, good hygiene practices, and the latest recommendations related to travel. We're continuing to monitor developments and will adjust as necessary. While baseball recognizes the fluidity of this rapidly evolving situation, our current intention is to play spring training and regular season games as scheduled. You know, more than 113,000 people worldwide have tested positive for it, and more than 3,900 people with the virus have died, most of them in China. More than 62,000 people have recovered. The virus has infected 600 people in the U.S. or so, including the director of the agency that runs the airports in New York and New Jersey. I said this on the show the other night. The guy in charge of the Port Authority has it. You know, many have died, a lot in Washington, the state of Washington. The Pro Writers Association of the NBA, NHL, baseball, and MLS, as well as the Pro Football Writers of America and the AP sports editors, responded to the closure with their own joint statement. They said, we're concerned with the developing international outbreak of coronavirus and the need to contain it. We understand precautions may be necessary in the name of public health. We are intent on working with the leagues, teams, and schools we cover to maintain safe work environments. We must also ensure locker room access, which we have negotiated over decades, to players, coaches, and staff is not unnecessarily limited in either the short or long term. The Baseball Writers Association released a separate statement saying access to the clubhouse is essential for our jobs. The decision by baseball to join the other leagues in closing the clubhouse to media is disappointing, even as a temporary step, and we desire to work with the MLB and MLBPA to discuss solutions beneficial to the players and media alike until we can return to the access that allows us to chronicle the game and humanize its performers like no other sport. Some NCAA Division III games have been played without crowds already, and at least one college hockey playoff series this coming weekend between RPI and Harvard in Troy, New York, is going to be played without fans as well. So as we know, a lot of teams and venues are grappling with the complicated decision of whether they should cancel events. This Dr. Nancy Messonnier from the CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases said it's really difficult to make those kind of pronouncements broadly. Local health departments and event organizers have to take into consideration of the local situation, consideration of what's going on in the locale where the event is being held and where people are coming from and what the event is and how big it is. Using that criteria, the doctor explained that a decision made in the greater Seattle area, which has been hit harder than anywhere else in the 140 reported cases and 21 deaths as of earlier this week, might be a very different situation than what happens in another town. A lot of it depends on the population, the doctor said, the risk of exposure, but also the risk of individuals. She cited research based on 70,000 cases reported in China. Only 2% were children under the age of 19. Nearly every one of those cases was labeled mild. In comparison, the vast majority of severe illness occurred in older adults over 60. The CDC said that anyone over 60 was at increasing risk, while those more than 80 or ones that had underlying health risk were at serious risk. Remember, they canceled the tennis tournament in Indian Wells this week. There is too great a risk at this time to the public health of the Riverside County area in holding a large gathering of this size. At least 59% of the population in Indian Wells is 65 or older. The event typically draws 145,000 spectators from all over the world, a massive number of people descending on a town where One out of every two people are at an increasing risk to serious risk of becoming dangerously ill from the virus, according to the criteria laid out by the CDC. The doctor emphasized that decisions to cancel events will not be made by the CDC, but instead will be made by local and state health departments. Unlike France, which has issued a nationwide ban on events more than 1,000 people, it's not federal but state laws that typically enforce quarantines and other rules related to public health decisions. As a result, it'll often be a local health department, like Riverside County, working with a venue organizer, like Indian Wells, about whether a cancellation is warranted. The CDC doesn't yet have info about how the coronavirus spreads to provide a specific number of what constitutes a mass event or how many people is too many people in one place, but is advising people to stay at least 6 feet away from one another. I mean, it is crazy. People are walking around like Martians. It's like the Night of the Living Dead. Think about it. Staying 6 feet away from somebody is next to impossible if you're sitting in a typical stadium style seat. Or even, how do you stay 6 feet away from people in New York City or even where you work? I mean, even if you work in a place that doesn't have a lot of people working at it, can you just walk around and avoid people from 6 to 8 feet? The Ivy League has literally canceled their conference tournaments in both men's and women's basketball because of the coronavirus. The league announced its decision before the start of the men's tournament and before the start of the women's tournament. Both tournaments were scheduled to be played in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It marked the first postseason college basketball tournament to be canceled because of the virus. The league announced that Yale will receive the conference's automatic bid into the NCAA men's tournament, while Princeton will receive the automatic bid on the ladies' side. The Ivy League said, quote, "We understand and share the disappointment with student athletes, coaches, and fans who will not be able to participate in these tournaments. Regrettably, the information and recommendations presented to us from public health authorities and medical professionals have convinced us that this is the most prudent decision." So the Ivy League is the first conference in college sports to cancel their men's and women's basketball tournaments. They're just not going to have them at all. They're letting Yale go on the men's side and Princeton go to the tournament on the women's side, and every other team is screwed. They will not have a chance to play for perhaps a bid if they were to upset everyone and win the tournament if they weren't the top seed or whatever. Any other school could have won it. Yale's going on the men's side and Princeton on the ladies' side, and that's that. How about the Ivy League taking the step to say, we're just not even having our tournaments at all? Earlier in the week in Atlanta and Fulton County, that's the city of Atlanta, announced the closure of all its schools after a teacher tested positive for the virus. About 12% of the population of Fulton County is 65 or older, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Decisions may be different for events in different locations, according to the doctor from the CDC, meaning fans shouldn't be surprised if games go on as scheduled in one state, with others played in empty venues elsewhere, with others completely canceling the event altogether. Think about Italy. I mean, it is crazy, but I mean, they have literally shut down the entire country. It's unprecedented and, I mean, potentially legally fraught what the move has meant. All of Italy and its 60 million residents have been placed under lockdown. I mean, that is crazy. Part of a raft of sweeping quarantine measures intended to contain the outbreak. The northern region of Lombardy and 14 other provinces had already been placed under lockdown, but the new decree will extend those restrictions across the entire country as the virus continues to spread throughout Italy and mainland Europe. The drastic measures include blanket travel restrictions, a ban on all public events, the closures of schools and public spaces, such as movie theaters, and the suspension of religious services, including funerals or weddings. You can't even bury someone. No one's getting married. Nothing. To enforce the ban, military police, railway police, and health workers are carrying out checks on transportation sites like highways and train stations. You can't go anywhere. The lockdown represents the toughest coronavirus response worldwide. I mean, that's just bottom line. Outside of China, who even can make this up? Parts of Italy, including the northern regions, are seeing a tsunami of patients, and the healthcare system is one step from collapse. So far, Italy has over 9,000 cases and over 460 deaths. the most of any country outside of China. The new lockdown may help slow the virus from spreading further, but some, like the Lombardy president, fear that it's still insufficient given the sheer scale and speed of the Italian outbreak. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. If you're in Italy, you are trying to run for your life. They won't let people go visit inmates at prisons in Italy either. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, who you are, who you're trying to see, where you're trying to go. You're not getting to do it in Italy. You are doing nothing. All of the sites where people go on vacations, all the legendary spots in Italy, are ghost towns. In the U.S., the stock market crashed. I mean, Monday was the biggest drop in history. 2,000 points, 7.8%. People are getting crushed with their 401ks. I mean, it's down. I mean, literally, it's the worst drop since 08, bar none. About $9 trillion was wiped off global stocks in 9 days. And the markets are seeing wild swings, indicative of just how deep investor anxieties are running.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You know, one of the biggest problems I'm seeing is you wake up and you turn on the TV. I always have ABC on. I think, you know, Good Morning America is probably, in my view, the best show overall of all the network, you know, Today and CBS This Morning and all the others. And then the local ABC affiliate in New York City is the best channel for news and everything. But I turn it on every day, and what I see is absolutely a never-ending barrage of negative, I mean, just the worst news you've ever seen in your life. The world is ending. I mean, you have no chance. You are doomed. Run for your life. You're going to die. Every single story is negative. Every single story is doom. Every single story is death and carnage and people sick and people with it and how they're dealing with it. And then the hospitals, they show all these people in hazmat suits caring for people. They will take footage from China and from Italy and make it our own problem. They'll bring their health issues inside of the hospitals in China and Italy, where everyone is even sicker than anywhere else. And they'll show them literally lying on their chests in hospital beds so that they can breathe better with the infection in their lungs. And they show them all laying on their stomachs, suffering with hoses sticking up their noses and throats from underneath the bed. And then all of the doctors and health officials and nurses and everyone else are in hazmat suits. And then they show literally all the places around the world that are empty and barren and ghost towns. Then they show cruise ships sitting out at sea with sick people on it. Then they show cruise ships emptying off passengers and putting them in airplanes that the military use and shipping them to Georgia and California to military bases to quarantine them. They show everyone wearing masks and covering their faces and getting led by cops everywhere onto vans and buses. I mean, it is like nothing you've ever seen. Then Good Morning America starts at 7 o'clock East, and their entire first hour is literally nothing but bad news. I mean, literally, all it is one story after the next of literally despair, chaos, confusion, and it's scary and it's insane. It's like you have no chance of anything positive in your life at all if you turn on the TV. If you watch Good Morning America or your local news, all they are going to do is tell you that you're going to be dead soon. I mean, that's all they do. And it has got to stop. I can't take it anymore. You just have to stop watching. I mean, that's why I think I watch sports. Because, you know, at least when there's a game on, they pretty much show you the game and call the game and do their broadcast of the game. I mean, they might mention that there's no one going in the locker room or you're not allowed to interview the players and, you know, there's coronavirus worry and, you know, might not have the big crowd that we expected tonight. A lot of people aren't going out and going to the games. You don't know what you're going to hear during the broadcast, but at least you get to watch a game because everything else is, it's over. I mean, you have no hope. I go to the gym every morning to work out, and what do you think people talk about at the gym? Literally 100% of the people that I talk to talk about the coronavirus. Nothing else. That's all they talk about is my mother's old. I'm worried about my mom. She's 85. Blah, 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 blah. I cannot bring my kids around grandma because if grandma gets sick, she's going to transfer it to the kids. I can't get my kids and my wife sick because, you know, grandma could get it. And grandma's living in her condo and she's on her own self-lockdown quarantine. She's not even sick. But if she gets sick, she'll die because she's had other health problems. I had a guy tell me that his dad had all kinds of respiratory problems from years of smoking, and he's worried about him getting it. It is just crazy. No one talks about anything else. They might mention the stock market crashing, but then mostly they talk about the virus, the pandemic. When are they going to shut down the schools? When are they going to shut down the gym? Are you going to be able to leave your house ever? Are you going to be quarantined in your house for the rest of your life? Have you gone to the grocery store? It's crazy. There's nothing there. I went to the toilet paper aisle and there was no toilet paper. I mean, none. People took all the toilet paper because people are tripping. People think that it's Armageddon, apocalypse, the world's ending. So you've got to get water and you've got to get toilet paper. I mean, obviously, people are concerned about taking a cable because every day you might have to bust one off and then you got to wipe. So I think one of my secrets would be, and I'm going to give you this tip on Pharrell on a Bench, is that, as you know, I use baby wipes to wipe my ass always because I've had 4 ass surgeries. So if they run out of toilet paper and you are thinking about using leaves out in your yard, don't do it. Just go get baby wipes. They haven't run out of baby wipes yet. Now they might, now that I've mentioned it. Hopefully people won't buy up all the baby wipes because I mentioned it, because baby wipes are what I use on my ass. And I think it's important to have something to wipe your ass with based on the coronavirus and people taking up all the toilet paper. I mean, what are you going to do if you can't get toilet paper anywhere in the world? I know it will happen. People will start stealing toilet paper from the gym. They already do that to begin with. I know people that steal toilet paper, Kleenex, and towels and hand towels from the gym like every day of their life. They just steal them, and then they use them to clean their floors, clean their dog after the dog's out in the rain walking. I mean, people do these things. They steal everything. I mean, I work out at this expensive gym, Lifetime. Each person's like $1.75 or something like that, and everybody there steals. All the rich people steal, it would appear to me, and then everybody else just goes there to steal because they know rich people are there. They get cars broken into, lockers broken into, wallets taken, purses taken, jewelry taken, Rolexes, chains, gold, earrings, watches, you name it. They get just picked clean, let alone toilet paper, Kleenex, hangers, mouthwash, soap. People are stealing the body wash from the showers. You'll go into the shower and you go to take a shower and you go to use the soap and the soap's gone. Well, you think maybe they just are changing it out and putting in new soap. No, no, no. Someone actually took the soap. And then there's conditioner and there's shampoo and people are stealing that too. I mean, what's next? Are they going to steal the steam room? Are they going to go into the steam room and steal the steam? What about the sauna? Are they going to go in and take the sauna rocks? What, are they going to go in and steal the pool water? Going to steal the jacuzzi water? They're going to steal the outdoor pool? Are they going to steal the basketball nets? Are they going to steal the basketball rims? What about the basketballs? Oh, of course the basketballs are stolen because they use really good basketballs. They have the best basketballs money can buy. They're about 100 a pop, and every time they put out new ones, they have about 12 new balls in the rack every month. They're always stolen. People just steal them because they know they're worth 100 bucks. So people go in with their bags, and then they steal the basketballs. We constantly have people stealing the basketballs. I'm surprised people don't go into the cafe and start yanking food off the shelves. They have the salad section on the wall that's refrigerated, and you can get your piece of salmon, piece of chicken, and a salad, and a drink right there. People just go in there and hawk that stuff and steal it, or others just eat it and don't pay for it. I mean, it happens. I've seen it happen. It's crazy. And then I don't even know what to tell you, but I think now that the stores are running out of everything because of the coronavirus, people are just going to start stealing everything. They might steal your car. They might steal your wife. And an Australian newspaper printed out 8 extra pages in a recent edition of their newspaper to serve as emergency toilet paper. So now they're telling people there is no toilet paper left in Australia, so wipe your ass with a newspaper. I mean, I have seen it all. You'll be spending money on toilet paper at one point or another. The only extra costs are the hassle of doing it sooner rather than later, contending with long lines and having difficulty finding it. Since they'll eventually use the toilet paper, the analysis is different than if they'd bought something they likely wouldn't use. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security advises that Americans keep at least 2 weeks' worth of food, toiletries, medical supplies on hand anyway. But most people don't. So when health officials publicly advise to stock up, people take it to the extreme. People who are stocking up on supplies are thinking about themselves and their family and what they need to do to prepare. But not healthcare workers, sick people, or even regular folks who might run out of toilet paper anytime soon. It's all due to this wave of anticipatory anxiety. People become anxious ahead of the actual infection. They haven't thought about the bigger picture. Like, what are they going to have consequences of stockpiling toilet paper for? What kind of people act out of fear? Even by purchasing toilet paper, it returns a sense of control to what seems like a helpless situation. Yeah, like buying toilet paper is going to help the coronavirus going away. Depending on how people estimate the chances of needing the toilet paper, the hassle might not be worth it. If it gave them the feeling that they had done everything that they could, it might free them to think about other things than the coronavirus. Can you even imagine that the biggest worry in this world and in this country has been toilet paper when people are dying of the coronavirus? You can't breathe, you get a respiratory infection like the flu, but you're worried about your ass. So people see images of panic buyers, and then they assume there's a reason to panic and buy up supplies themselves. People are social creatures. They look at each other for cues for what is safe and what is dangerous. And when you see someone in the store panic buying, that can cause a contagion effect. So you go do it. All of those photos of empty shelves may lead people to believe that they must rush out and grab toilet paper themselves while they still can. I mean, this is unbelievable. Social media plays a huge role for the fear-mongering. Misinformation spreads with ease, and open platforms amplify voices of panic. Some people think it's a survivalist psychology where we must live as much as possible at home and thus must stock up on essentials. And that certainly includes toilet paper. And after all, if we run out of toilet paper, what do we replace it with? And I have told you, it's baby wipes. I watched this bit on Fox News where they blame the left for trying to bring down Donald Trump and the Republican administration. That it's all because of the Democrats that they have turned this coronavirus into an impeachment scam. I have seen it all. Fox News is blaming the left and blaming the Democrats for the coronavirus as they are trying to attack Donald Trump, and that they said that a disease that started halfway around the world is being blamed on Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump's fault that the coronavirus is all over the world. I mean, this is the most ridiculous stuff I've ever heard in my life. And then all of them said it. Biden said it. You name it. They're telling Trump to shut up, to stop talking, to stop mentioning it. Every time he opens his mouth, it gets worse. They're saying it's like Ukrainegate and the Mueller investigation. Fox News is selling that the coronavirus is another attempt to get rid of Donald Trump.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
People have been asking questions. If traveling on a plane, how do I stay safe? It's not the cabin air you need to worry about. It's keeping your hands clean. They say, always be mindful of where your hands have been. Airport handrails, door handles, and airplane lavatory levers are dirty. Is it okay to touch these things as long as you wash or sanitize your hands before contaminating your face, touching, or handling food? Hand sanitizers are great. So are antiseptic hand wipes, which you can use to wipe down armrests, remote controls at your seat, and your tray table. People say, since a plane's cabin keeps circulating air, will I get sick if another passenger is sick? Most viruses don't spread easily on airplanes because of how the air circulates and is filtered, according to the CDC. Most commercial jets recirculate 10 to 50% of the air in the cabin mixed with outside air. The recirculated air passes through a series of filters 20 to 30 times per hour, according to the CDC. Furthermore, air generally circulates in defined areas within the aircraft, thus limiting the radius of distribution of pathogens spread by small particle aerosols. As a result, the cabin air environment is not conducive to the spread of most infectious diseases. They're saying, still, try to avoid contact with anyone sneezing or coughing. And if you're feeling sick, cover your entire mouth and nose with the inside of your elbow when you cough or sneeze. I have always used the elbow for the cough and sneeze. There's nothing worse than people that sneeze into their hands. And then what do they touch? You touch a door handle, touch something, the armrest, touch the tray table. I mean, touch their drink. I mean, it just never ends, right? And then how about, what does older adults mean? What is the age threshold? The CDC says older adults and people with the chronic medical conditions are at a higher risk of getting very sick from the illness. Anyone over 60 with those health problems should try to avoid places with large crowds. You know, malls, going to church. This ought to be the top of the mind for people over 60 with health problems. The single most important thing you can do to avoid the virus is reduce your face-to-face contact with people. Don't go near people. How about this one? Should I avoid Chinese, Korean, or Italian people? No. Not everyone in a certain demographic is at risk for coronavirus. Social stigmas often cause more harm than good, whether they're directed at a nationality or at a profession like healthcare workers. Stigma affects the emotional or mental health of stigmatized groups and the communities they live in. Stopping stigma is important to making communities and community members resilient. Oh, man. Chinese American businesses have been devastated financially, and restaurant workers have been laid off. How about this one? Can you get coronavirus through food? Coronaviruses are generally thought to be spread from person to person through respiratory droplets. Currently, there's no evidence to support transmission associated with food. In general, because of the poor survivability of these coronaviruses on surfaces, there is likely very low risk of spread from food products or packaging that are shipped over a period of days or weeks as like an ambient, refrigerated, or frozen temps. Here's one. If I have plans to go on a cruise, should I rebook or cancel? How about yes? I actually knew someone that was going on a cruise next week out of Florida, and we were like talking to her, and we're like, what's wrong with you? Why would you go on a cruise right now? You must be crazy. And we finally convinced her not to go on the cruise, so she's just going to go to Fort Lauderdale instead. I'm like, there's a good idea. Just go down to the beach, lay at the beach, stay outside at the beach, Get in the sun, get some rays. Don't go near people. Just go outside, go to the beach, chill the most, drink at the beach, hang out. I mean, why would you want to be trapped on a cruise ship right about now? So the U.S. airline industry is getting hit hard. American and Delta announced deep cuts in their international and domestic schedules. American, the world's largest airline, said it would cut its international capacity by 10% this summer compared to the current schedule, as well as a 7.5% drop in domestic flights in April. Delta said it'll cut its international flights between 20 to 25% and trim domestic flights by 10 to 15%. That's crazy. Delta said it would make additional moves aimed at saving $3 billion, including a suspension of share repurchases, a deferral of contribution to the company's pension plans, a cut in capital spending, and a deferral of maintenance spending on aircraft it expects to park. They also are going to institute a hiring freeze and set up a way for employees to sign up for unpaid leave. The Southwest Airlines CEO, Gary Kelly, said he was going to take a 10% pay cut because of it, like himself. How about this one? Apple says that you should feel free to use disinfectant wipes to clean your iPhone. Smartphones are germ magnets. And Apple issued a new gadget cleaning guidance as the outbreak spreads. Earlier this week, they came out with a report and tells people that they can gently wipe the hard, non-porous surfaces such as displays or keyboards of Apple products with a 70% alcohol wipe or Clorox disinfecting wipes. Apple says people should not use bleach to clean their gadgets, and they should avoid letting moisture seep into any opening to prevent internal damage. People have been rushing to purchase Clorox and other antibacterial wipes because they can kill 99.9% of bacteria and viruses, but it remains unclear about how effective they are at eliminating the coronavirus strain from hard surfaces. Bottom line is, the CDC says, follow the same practices as if you're trying to avoid the common respiratory infections like the flu and others, such as scrubbing your hands clean with soap and water the old-fashioned way, wiping down shared workspaces with disinfectant wipes, and to cover coughs and sneezes. So I used to go to Losercom Radio and do my radio show at night, and everyone shared the same studio. So you had all the shows all day long sharing the same counters in the same studio with the same microphones and the same mic covers, which are basically covered with like goo and gook and like jizz and everything else, like people's cack and all their bad breath and spitting and all their cigarettes and all their dope and everything else that they put in their face. I used to skeeve out every single night. I mean, you can ask Mafia and Carver Itis. I used to literally bring a thing of Clorox wipes in my bag, and every single day I kept them stocked. So I'd go out and buy them, and I'd always have a bottle of it in my bag, a giant bottle. But the first thing I did, I'd walk into the studio every night. Before I did anything else, I would wipe down the entire counter and the microphones, and I would even spray Lysol into the microphones, which are $2,000 microphones. I'd spray them anyway with Lysol because I didn't trust anybody else that I worked with. I thought they were all just absolutely disgusting, gross pigs. And I'm a beautiful human being, and I do not carry funk. Everybody else that I worked with was funky. I worked with some people that were disgusting. Chain smokers constantly on the air before me. I'd go in and I could smell their cigarettes bouncing off the microphones in my face, and it made me want to hurl. So I would spray them down, wipe them down. I know that people that I work with now, my boy Smitty's constantly wiping stuff down with disinfectant wipes and hand sanitizer. He's always working and jimmying his hands with the sanitizers. And I don't blame him at all. I mean, I'm carrying them now in my bag to work. And I'm going to start doing it with everything. Every night when I do the shows, Coast to Coast and In-Game Live, we share these Mickey Mouse-looking headset microphones that are just the worst things I've ever worked with in my life. I'm begging them to change and get the high-tech ones, high-grade, high-end, badass hook ones that go behind your head and just have a wire on the side of your face and a microphone that you can use. But we have this screaming race book next to us with people cussing and yelling and screaming at the horses all day. So we have to wear these headsets so we can hear the control room back in New York City. It's so noisy in that sports book. So we wear these giant Mickey Mouse looking headsets that you see NBA announcers and NFL announcers and hockey announcers wearing when they're calling games, right? So every night we have to change from like my show to Morenzi's show back to my show. So I'm on 4 to 6 coast to coast, then Gabe's on 6 to 7, then I'm on 7 to 9. So we do multiple switches and we just share the same headset and mic, and the thing's right in your face. So Morenzi's spitting all over it, I'm spitting all over it, and then it's sweat on your ears on the earmuffs on these headsets. So I'm wiping those dry now. I'm wiping those clean with disinfectant wipes. I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't want to get your funk. I don't want to get your disease. You don't want to get mine. You don't want to have all of my action all over your face, or you don't want to be breathing in my action any more than I want to breathe in your action, Romeo. I mean, the whole thing is just skeeving me out. I can't take it, all this disease and spitting and coughing and sneezing and hacking and touching and grabbing. I won't grab anything. I told the story the other day on the air that I literally surfboard and skateboard while I'm on the subway. I won't touch anything. I stand and keep my balance the entire subway ride. I just keep my balance and I chill them up. Literally, I will touch nothing. When I'm in the subway and down those stairs into the bowels of the city, I barely want to breathe, let alone touch anything. I wouldn't touch anything if you paid me. I will not grab any door handle ever. I will use my arm, my elbow, my foot, my leg, anything. I'll use anything. I'll use a bag. I'll use whatever. I am not grabbing a thing in this world with my hand anymore outside. And that was long before this coronavirus came around. I don't trust door handles and rails and the airport or anywhere else, subway, train, buses, I don't care what it is, cabs. I don't even want to touch a door handle of a cab or an Uber car. I don't want to touch anything ever, let alone before this disease stuff started that's ending the world, the pandemic. Long before that came around, I was just funked out and skeeved out by people. I can't stand it. I can barely handle being in the car with Mafia when he starts sneezing. He's got like a sneeze attack too all the time. He doesn't think he does, but he does. Let me tell you officially, he does. I don't mind the guy sneezes. What am I going to do about it? It is what it is. But stick your face out the window when you do it. Open the car window and blast your sneeze out into the wind doing 50 or 60 miles an hour so it flies past the car and not inside the car, so I got to breathe in your action. I mean, I'm always thinking, even myself, if I have to sneeze and I got somebody in a car with me or I'm at work, I turn away. I go into the elbow. I go out the window in the car. I never sneeze on anyone. I'm always thinking of other people, and I'm always thinking of other people too, sneezing on me. Don't come near me. Don't touch me. Don't sneeze on me. Don't cough on me. I hate you forever. I know you love Pharrell on a Bench, an entire show on the skeevy heebies and the Honda and the sneezing, hacking, coughing cack of your disease. I am the disease infectious specialist. Pharrell, shake that hoop.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? Sports Grid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, Sports Grid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.